from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's Jeremy White.
People aren't inspecting chicken cacciatore being like, you know what? Hold on.
You don't look at the meat you're
you
about
do,
to be like, you know, this looks a little funky.
But you're not trying to discern. It's like, is that cantaloupe?
Right?
That looks like it might be cantaloupe.
And Joe DiBiase.
Wills and won'ts. Will eat a Cobb salad in a movie theater.
Yep.
Won't pick up a quarter.
Nope.
On Western New York sports giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, we're live from St. John Fisher. Jeremy and Joe, for the beautiful day today, highs in the 80s.
Yep.
Flags are not moving here.
No, there's nothing happening. I mean, this has been... How good was last year for weather? We had one day where we were sitting here, it was pouring rain behind us.
Yep.
And this year, I mean, we haven't had anything. We had some rain the first day, but it was after everybody had already left. And maybe that's going to happen again today. Pat Hammer tweeted, like, we're going to get downpours, maybe Buffalo and Rochester, but that it's probably not happening until after Bills practice. So, should be okay, I think.
Yeah, I don't remember. I'm trying to think, like, what weather events at camp, rain, you know, it's not like you're getting...
Lightning delays ever?
Sometimes.
Maybe.
They sometimes go inside. Those can be tough, but whatever. Anyway, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. We flirted with this topic. Let's get some of the answers in and maybe break down who is most likely. So the NFL top 100 is slowly being revealed. Tua, 36.
Blasphemy.
Tua, 36. Up 50 spots.
I mean, if Joe Burrow's roughly behind him, what's there going to be, like five quarterbacks ahead of him and that's it?
Yeah, still to come.
Allen,
Mahomes.
Lamar. Herbert.
Stroud.
Has Herbert been on the list yet?
I think Herbert has been on the list.
Okay. Stroud will be on
Herbert
the list.
Herbert was high on the list last year.
Jordan Love was already on the list?
Jordan Love is in this round.
Is Tua going to be fourth? No way. We got to be missing someone. Has Jalen Hurts been on the list
Hurts
yet?
Will be in there somewhere. That's a good question.
Will he drop out? Wasn't he really high last year? Wasn't he like third?
I think so.
Last year, like top something. Yeah.
Anyway, who's most likely, which Bills player is most likely to crack the top 100 for the first time next year? So no Josh Allen. He's already done it. No Deion Dawkins.
Right.
He's done it. I mean, Vaughn could return.
Milano's done it. Even if he's not going to be on this year's
list. He won't
be
on it this year. The injury, of course.
Yeah.
So
everybody else is eligible.
I mean, Poyer and Diggs are still on it this year for last year's season.
Yeah.
Who's most likely? All right, let's make the case for Kincaid.
Okay.
Three tight ends made it last year. Kittle, Andrews, and Kelsey.
Okay.
That's like the wake you up out of a cold sleep. Hey, Joe, yeah. Name three tight ends. Kittle, Kelsey, Andrews, right? Like,
yes.
You get to that level of tight end. For to make it into the NFL top 100 as a tight end, you're that.
Yeah.
You are that guy. And could Kincaid be that by the end of the year? I think it's possible. Is he the most likely? Because factoring into this, who's most likely to make the top 100 is the position.
Yeah.
I had somebody write in Osiris Torrance. Like, two guards made it.
Yeah.
It's going to be two guards. And it's the number one and number two all-pro guys.
And I think you need – were they older guys?
It was Zach Martin
and
Chris Lindstrom.
Okay. Because like, I was going to say, I think you need – as a guard, I think you need years of top-level play before you'll start getting
Osiris Torrance is not making the top 100 unless he catches five touchdowns. Like, it's not going to happen.
Right.
So Kincaid's a good answer. You say Bernard.
Yeah, Bernard puts up numbers. And, that's going to be a factor with these lists, I think, is, you know, these guys have, I know, some appreciation and watch a lot of films. They know who's good and who's not. But, you know, they're not watching every snap, I don't think, of every guy in the league. So if they see at the end of the year, hey, Terrell Bernard, who had 6.5 sacks and a couple of interceptions last year, had a couple more interceptions and another 5 sacks, and now he's a Pro Bowler, and he's the middle of a very good Bills defense. Like, I think Bernard has got a real good shot at a position that I think is pretty widely respected. It wouldn't have more middle linebackers made the list than tight ends last year. Like, for the tight end, you mentioned those names. Man, getting one of those names off the list.
Yeah.
Is going to be tough. And if you do, like if Kincaid did that, hey, you had a better year than George Kittle. Okay, well, you also might have to have a better year than Sam LaPorta. And yeah, that's not impossible. Like, LaPorta is not the number one option in his offense. Kincaid might be the number one option now in the Bills' offense, and I think maybe actually will be. So it's not impossible for Kincaid. I don't know that I want to bet it, though, right now.
Pitts and Waller made it in 2022.
Pitts made it?
Kyle Pitts made it. Yeah.
What?
In 2022.
When we've been waiting for the breakout on him. That was the rookie year where he had 1,000 yards and zero touchdowns.
Yeah. TJ Hockenson made it for a year.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. You know, some guys come off and on the list.
One other thing that I did not realize about this. Again, the NFL Top 100, they reveal it now. It's voted on by players. I did not realize how much turnover there is. Last year to this year, how many guys do you think show up in the NFL Top 100 from one year to the next? I just did a quick count. It's like 35 new players.
Yeah.
35. Now, injury is a part of that. As pointed out, that guys drop off the list if they're hurt. If you don't play, you can really suffer and get taken off the list. So, anyway, Zach Ertz on the list back a couple years ago. Ooh. There's Kittle and Kelsey again. So, Kincaid's an answer. Bernard's an answer. How about...
You mentioned in the break, Ed Oliver.
I mean, I just feel like Oliver, I don't know if he'll ever get his flowers.
Yeah.
Rousseau?
Shouldn't he, though? Isn't he the type of defensive tackle?
A penetrating defensive tackle,
like,
yeah.
What is it about? Is it that he just had too many years of, like, play that kind of got built in? Because if you're going to – think about it this way. If you were going to become a star defensive tackle in the NFL, what's going to give you the best chance of doing that?
Sacks.
Sacks? A personality, by the way, which he also has?
But this is different. These are players voting on it. Right?
But he's not getting the flowers anywhere, really.
It's the players. It's the players. I mean, Quinnen Williams is on this list. I would say game-recognized game?
Yeah.
Then again, when Mac Jones showed up on the list, people got really mad. But yes. Players voted on it.
But Oliver's not getting it. He's not getting it from the PFF grades. He's not getting it from the Pro Bowl votes.
Yep.
Right? He hasn't done that. He's not gotten all pro votes. Like, he... But again, he kind of... Didn't he just break out? Didn't he have 4 years that were just pretty good?
Yeah, I think when he signed his contract, the general reaction was, whoa, okay, I wasn't sure that they were going to do that. And then
it felt like he needed to elevate his game.
And he did.
To make the contract worth it.
Yeah, and he did.
But what that means is before he signed the contract, he wasn't actually that great. He was okay. He was fine. He was pretty good. But was he a star defensive tackle in the league? I don't think anybody was saying that in the first 4 years of his career.
I think Rousseau has a look. If he has a good year, he's got to stay healthy, stay on the field for them.
They're going to pay him, right?
Yeah, well, they got the fifth-year option. They got time.
Just Bobby Babich about him later.
There's plenty of time.
Yeah. What would it be for any receiver to be on that list?
1,000 yards.
It will. I mean, you mentioned that A.J. Brown wasn't on that list every year, and I don't remember him having a down year. Maybe he did, but Coleman's not going to be it as a rookie. I really wonder how big a year Samuel could have. Probably not NFL top 100.
Love. Maybe. I mean, you know, Terry McLaurin made it. He's okay. Good. He's really good.
He's very good. Yeah.
Couple years ago.
If James Cook doesn't end up on the list, too, he's a very good answer for this. If he doesn't, and Derrick Henry's already on the list.
I think we're still going to see James Cook. I think we're getting
You think he's going to be in the top 30?
Yes, I do. What wow. running backs are ahead of him? It's going to be McCaffrey.
Yep.
Hall, okay. Gibbs, okay. Not Bijan. He didn't have the kind of year to do it. Barkley.
Barkley's got...
You mentioned Derrick Henry's already on the list. He's already out there.
Yeah, Barkley's got a reputation that I'm sure is going to help him along. Will Travis Etienne make the list?
Ugh.
He had 1,000 yards last year and 11 touchdowns. Joe Mixon had 1,000 yards last year, but again, if these are players voting on it, you know, I might want to think, like, Derrick Henry had 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns last year. He was second in rushing yards. So, could there only be one running back in the top?
I guess it's possible.
In the top whatever?
And then Cook is just frozen out.
It went McCaffrey in terms of rushing yards last year. This isn't even counting the receiving. It went McCaffrey, Henry, Kyren Williams, James Cook. Those are the top four. And, like, if you're a Rams fan, this is why I'm wondering if they're kind of the same here. If you're a Rams fan, do you think Kyren Williams is going to make the top 30?
No.
How different is he than James Cook, though? Because the year he just had wasn't it just kind of like James Cook. He had 1,100 yards rushing, and I guess he only had 200 yards receiving, which surprised me. But 1,400 yards total and 15 touchdowns, as opposed to Cook, who did not have 15 touchdowns.
Right.
So how different are the two, really? Like, they're both, all right, these are probably pretty good running backs that had big statistical seasons in very good offenses. I think I would bet that Cook's not going to be on the list for this year.
Yeah, you make a good case. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Back to it today for another practice. Hall of Fame game is on the way. You know, there's a story out there. It's funny. Pro Football Talk has something. Joe and I were driving out here listening to Amy Lawrence talk about the quarterback contracts, something we got into yesterday because Tua signed, Jordan Love signed, and it's my new everything. It can't be overstated enough how much people overstate the issue about quarterback contracts. Because a fun fact is, do you know what quarterback is going to make the most cash in the next 3 years?
Who is it?
Patrick Mahomes.
And one of the things we heard driving in is how
he's so underpaid.
He takes less to win.
He's going to make the most money of any quarterback in the next 3 years.
Are you talking everything or
cash.
just the contract?
Dollars into his bank account.
Yeah.
Number one.
But from his team or from endorsements
from
included?
His team.
Okay, from
salary.
His team. Okay.
He's number one in cash.
Okay.
These big contracts, all, you know, like, oh, can you believe how underpaid these guys are? Can you believe this, that, and this? It's just, it's wild that Allen's going to get this soon, right? Don't we expect that?
Well, Andrew Brandt had this. No, I saw someone have this the other day. I'm looking for it. It was the total cash in the next couple of years. And I think Allen was actually kind of far down the list.
Right. Whereas Mahomes, again, like the two of them get talked about as both being underpaid. And Mahomes is going to get that money.
Right. Allen, though, yeah. Is Allen's deal like that? Allen's, I think, going to get repaid this way. But I think, right, Mahomes is different. He just got a restructure 1 year ago also, which I think does also matter to that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I mean, really, it's how it works, right? When it's time to pay a guy, you know, that whoever's next up to be paid, that's who's going to get the money. It's happened forever. Wasn't Matt Ryan at one point in time the highest paid quarterback in football? And when everyone have ever said, except maybe one year, that he was the best quarterback in football? Matt Ryan. Matthew Stafford at times has been the highest paid quarterback in football. And it was just because it was his turn. When it's your turn to get paid, that's it. I think it's, you know, in most cases, it is not worth criticizing. Like Jared Goff, for instance. Or maybe Trevor Lawrence is a little closer to this. I think Tua is definitely closer to this. Is, hey, are you sure you have a guy that's good? Like, if you have a guy that is good and maybe not the best, okay, you do it. Because the alternative can be really tough. But if you've got a guy that's more on the fence and you're paying a guy like that, that's where I think, you know, you'll regret it just because you're tying yourself for longer to a guy. I think the Giants are a good example of this. Even though Daniel Jones didn't get the mega contract, he didn't get the $50 million contract a couple years ago. He got more of a second tier one in the 40s.
They paid him what quarterbacks get paid.
Right. And I don't mind the money. Like, I don't think the money is the problem, that they paid Daniel Jones $40 million a year. I think the problem is they signed up for two more years of Daniel Jones. And now they're going into this year with him still on the books. And had they delayed the contract because they don't actually know if he's that good, then they probably could have moved off him last year.
Well, they probably tried to get a quarterback. We know they did in this draft, and they couldn't.
Right.
So.
But they couldn't get up to get one.
I guess not. Well, they were at six. They couldn't get up to get the guy they wanted, I guess, because they took neighbors.
Also, it might be true the owner wanted them to re-sign Daniel Jones,
right,
which is going to make that more of a headache. So I don't know.
It is to me, it's interesting to keep charting the quarterback market, though, because for a while it was, well, get a guy in his rookie deal and you have an advantage. And that is still true. Like the Texans had that with C.J. Stroud. Caleb Williams and the Bears. By the way, Caleb Williams says he wants to play in the Hall of Fame game. So we'll see if he does on Thursday.
Okay.
Because if he does, or rather, if he doesn't, then maybe Bills fans get to see the first of Caleb Williams in a Bears uniform in a game. It's preseason. But think about how the arc of this quarterback conversation goes. Get a guy in a rookie deal. Well, now all these guys are signed. Everybody's signed.
Everybody but Stroud, right?
Like, and Stroud who's next? Will undoubtedly get signed.
Yeah.
So if you look at it that way, Rodgers is talking about playing more years. The teams that can take advantage of the young quarterback contract, there's fewer and fewer. Houston, probably not for that much longer. They might have 2 years to do it. Although, right, when you extend a guy, you can keep his cap hit low, so they probably have like 5 years to do it.
Yeah.
Drake May in New England. But you've got big money committed to a lot of other guys. Indianapolis has a young quarterback. My point is, for the Bills and Allen, there's this – I'm weighing the scales here, Joe. On one hand, it's you have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. For every one of these points that I make about, of course you have to pay two of that money. It's not obnoxious. It's just what guys get paid. And the same is true of Trevor Lawrence and on and on and on. There are going to be 10 quarterbacks that are paid right now more than Allen.
Yep.
And if that's happening, then the Bills have a double built-in advantage.
Right.
The better player and the more room around him.
Yeah.
And that's on one side of the scale. Okay, let's go to work with that. And that might be what Bean is doing next year. Right? Next year, when all the cap space opens up because they took the bigger hit on Diggs this year, they have money to spend. And even when your caps, you know, you sign these big long extensions, the money is low early on. Like, the Bills could really go heavy into next year.
They could. I do think another part that is often lost, though, in this contract debate or this contract situation is we do often it's not hockey. We focus on the average annual value.
Right. As opposed to Justin Jefferson's cap hit is $8 million when he makes 35 a year.
The NFL salary cap is more it's so complicated. Like, I don't know how the numbers always shake out this way, but I know where I could find them, and I know where to look it up. And I do know one simple truth that is, I think, true of every contract in the league, I think, is that every contract, the first 2 years, cap hit-wise, which is what counts to when you're building your team, how bad are they? They're usually really low. So that needs to be mentioned here, too, is that, like you just kind of said it about Stroud, that you have your rookie window, but then you kind of have, like, oftentimes the first year or even 2 years of a big extension are lower than, like, what a fifth-year option is.
Yeah.
Fifth-year option usually is, like, $20 million. You might be lower than that. So Tua got paid. Jared Goff got paid. Trevor Lawrence got paid. Jordan Love got paid. Next year, do you know the quarterbacks with a higher cap hit than Josh Allen? Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
That it?
That's it. That's the list. And they'll restructure. They might give him – we talked yesterday with – was it Matt Parrino? We talked with someone that was like, oh, they might just rip up the contract and redo it. Maybe Sal said that.
Yep.
$60 million cap hit next year for Josh Allen. Tua, funny enough, is $59 million. So his deal, I guess, is not actually that backloaded.
Right. You know who else is like that? Who? Jordan Love. The Packers are super young and super cheap right now. So yeah. Jordan Love's new extension, his cap hit in year one is 20, and then it's 29, and then it's 36.
Right.
They do not have it where it's really low. Right. Jacksonville has Trevor Lawrence next year at 17. You know, so some teams, that's the thing. Like, everybody's cap is different. Sure, there's a cap on the salary.
Yeah.
But you can roll over money. You can restructure.
You move stuff down the road. Like, Jared Goff next season will cost the Lions on their cap $32 million.
What's he costing this season?
This season, he is costing, yeah, what's this year look like? This year, Watson's number one, $64 million. That is the that one is the worst contract. It's by far the worst contract. Cap hit by year this year. So Allen, by the way, is eighth at $30.3 million.
This year.
Yeah. Who did you ask me about? Goff?
Goff this year.
$27 million. $27 million this year. Burrow will cost them $29. Lawrence, $15.
Yep.
Like, the top cap hits, it really is less about how much the guys are getting and just where in the deal is the quarterback. Are you at the front of the deal? Because if you have just paid the guy, you're not paying for it yet. But this is the case with Allen. If you're into the fourth year or the fifth year of an extension and you haven't really ripped it up and redone it, then you're going to be on the hook for a bigger cap hit. That's why right now, go look at the list of the biggest cap hits among quarterbacks in the league this year. The highest paid quarterbacks on their team's books, Watson at $63 million. They paid him, what, 2.5 years ago? Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott at $55 million is the second highest cap hit in the league. When did they pay him? 3 years ago? Matthew Stafford with the Rams, $50 million.
They just redid his deal
redid it a little bit. Kyler Murray is fourth.
But the redoing it was just to give him more money.
Right. Kyler Murray is fourth in cap hit this year. Where is he ranked in terms of average salary? Lower. But because that contract was 3 years ago, Daniel Jones is fifth because his contract came in before all these other guys. So I do think that's a part of this too where you pay the guy and you go, okay, let's take a breath. We have 2-3 years sometimes before we really have to pay for this.
So long story short, the cap's not real.
The cap's not real. The contracts are all fake. The $55 million you see for Jordan Love, you have Jordan Love this year, is costing $27 million for the Packers. It's not really $55 million yet. It'll be $55 million in 2027. And what do we care at that point?
Yeah. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. All right, Sal's take on practice from yesterday. We saw some one-on-ones. We got plenty of 11-on-11. We found out about Mike Edwards. Let's see what he thinks the Bills are going to do at safety with Mike Edwards, who I think he's been the plan to be the guy, one of the starters, but he has not been available since signing pretty much. Missed time at minicamp and missing weeks here of training camp. Jeremy and Joe and Sal next on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal Capaccio joining us, of course. Don't forget about Sal's All Access Facebook Live, Monday through Saturday. And this past July 28th, you guys did your Facebook Live.
It's every day. Every day there's practice, whenever it is. We got it going on. Been every one of them has been from room 220 in Dorsey Hall.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's all good. Somebody asked me on the Facebook Live in the comments,
yeah,
do you ever leave your room? I said yes, but not to do this. Like, I just have I have everything right here I need.
Yeah. So Sal's All Access Live on WGR brought to you by, driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. I have a – how come nobody put a sign over it calling it Brady Hall now? Come on.
Oh, come on, man. Wouldn't that be?
Shouldn't it be Brady Hall?
It's too obvious, isn't it? As like,
come on.
Would it be perceived as a shot at the former coordinator? We can't have your name
shot
on the door.
He got fired, and there's a new guy, and somebody from the team should put a.
So we have to rename the hall, whoever the offensive coordinator is?
Yes, new tradition.
Even though it was Dorsey Hall well before Dorsey was here.
Right.
I understand.
Listen.
But the first thing when you said that, the word Brady is tough, though.
It's true.
That's what I keep going, that's what I go to.
Okay, yeah. Fair.
Right? Like, okay, they have – here we go to dinner sometimes at the Pittsford Pub. It's right around the corner, right? We all like it. It's a really great place. They take care of us. Yeah. Really nice. They have a great sandwich there called the Brady.
Yeah.
And every time I tell people, despite the name, it's great. And they're like, it's called the Brady, though. I'm a Bills fan, someone says. And I say, I think it's named after a person, like their kid or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but it's great. And I always feel weird kind of promoting it to that person who I might be with or came by or whatever.
It's goat meat, this sandwich, actually. Yeah. All right. So, Sal.
It's got some air in it, but it's okay. Yeah. It's all good.
So, padded practice yesterday, which was, I thought, great to watch. Like, as soon as, you know, the players can talk about how it feels more real when the pads are on. As an observer, it's definitely different to watch with the pads on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're going hard. They're going fast. You know, yes, it's a team, right? Everybody knows it's a team, and you have to kind of, you know, respect and play together and all that. When those pads come on, these are grown men fighting for jobs, fighting, as Sean McDermott said, to put dinner on the table for their family. That's their livelihood. That's it. They don't – like, if I got to beat you one-on-one, I'm going to do whatever I can to beat you one-on-one. And that's what you saw yesterday in one-on-ones and in 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 and guys getting after it. And then it gets physical. It gets heated. There's always a skirmish. I lost it wasn't a real bet. I said to you guys my money would be on a DB versus a wide receiver.
Yeah.
That was the second skirmish.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The first one was Bronson Dean. Did you guys know the Bills had a guy named Bronson Dean as a defensive tackle? Yeah. Bronson Dean and Alec Anderson, who Alec Anderson is a tough dude, and he's never going to back down from anybody. And he got into it with Bronson Dean, and then he was kind of standing off the side looking, and then Kingsley Jonathan, our Syracuse guy, came in and drilled Alec Anderson, and then a couple other guys spilled over, and then bam, it separated, right? I mean, that's what you do. That's what happens.
And that wide receiver fight was Hollins and Kyer Elam.
We were right there.
They tossed the ball at him, and I have no idea
why. I said to Joe,
I was watching that.
What happened?
Elam was just grabbing him the whole way. Right, like, and then Hollins made the catch, and they went to the sideline, and he threw it right at Elam's face.
The reason I laugh is the flicking of the ball is always the thing.
I said to Joe, I think of all the things you could do to fight a teammate, throwing the ball at them is the most acceptable. Because no one's going to get really hurt.
That's exactly
you can say you're mad. Everyone lets it go.
Oh, man.
You mentioned McDermott and, you know, guys fighting for dinner for their family. There was a drill they did yesterday, like a bubble screen kind of drill. And it was fun to watch, in part because McDermott went right over there.
No, he kept walking back and forth.
Right, because there's one on one side of the field, the other side of the field, whatever. They're doing a drill. It's a blocking drill. I don't know if it's a bubble screen. A blocking drill for receivers. Receivers blocking DBs. And he is right there before a rep, not yelling at the players, but letting them know how important it is. And then he put both hands on his knees and, like, watch hard.
Oh yeah.
Oh, and they would wait for him to. They would wait to do the rep too until he would walk over.
Yeah.
Like he would walk back and forth, and if he was over, if he was yelling something on one rep, they would pause a second until he came back.
That he wanted to see it.
Yes. Yeah. Because he had the whistle,
and the players knew. And I just got that feeling like if you're a player, you're a receiver, you're a DB, like the big guy's watching this one.
Yeah.
It, like 5 feet away. He's invested.
And
here.
Sal, my question based like coming stemming from that. If this offense is going to be running more yak plays, short passing game, things that are closer to the line of scrimmage, I mean, is it fair to say that blocking for a receiver might be more important on this type of offense than any other?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I did not actually see that drill. I must have been in the other field. I watched a lot of the defense yesterday. It's probably what they call a stalk blocking drill. Like you play away, right?
Yeah.
It's a stalk blocking drill. You're stalking him, and then you got to latch onto him to not let him get behind you, right? And that's exactly what would happen on a short pass, on some sort of screen, some sort of swing pass. It's exactly right. And what we know about Curtis Samuel, his skill set, and how the Bills might be using him, and James Cook out of the backfield, Dalton Kincaid. We've seen a lot of these shorter passes. We've seen a lot of this yak come into play. That's exactly the way it needs to be. What's funny and interesting to me is every drill is filmed anyway, right? There's a camera on every drill. So they can go back and watch it. But for Sean to still need to be there live, right? But that's also because he wants to coach it and tell somebody or give them pointers or yell at them and, hey, you got to be better. Or, hey, that was great. I'm sure that's a big part of it.
You said you were watching the defense. What did you see from the other field while we were over?
Well, I was watching the rotation at safety because of the injury to Mike Edwards. And, you know, DeMar Hamlin was back out there yesterday, Cole Bishop. This is going to be a competition between the two until Mike Edwards comes back. And then we're going to see and sort it out where they go from there, right? So I think it's going to be really interesting. I keep being impressed by Dwayne Smoot as well. Dwayne Smoot, who's a defensive end, but plays defensive tackle. Excuse me, they move him inside and outside. I think this is a guy that's going to kind of factor in a little bit. And, you know, watching some of those D lineman drills. Greg Rousseau, he's just a really good run defender. He's so long, it's tough to block him. Talk about stalk block, right? You can't do that against him. He's so long, he locks you out. Man, if you could just get, if he could be close to a double-digit pass rusher, I'd say he'd be one of the more complete defensive ends in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how good of a run defender he is.
Yeah. While we're on the line, I feel like, have we talked about Dwayne Carter, like the least of their rookies? And
probably.
Maybe that's his position.
Yeah.
But I feel like just kind of hearing you and some of the other beat guys just kind of like in passing, I don't know, I feel like he's getting good reviews so far.
Yeah, I think he's done well. He's not been in a situation where I say, oh, he got run over. Actually, yesterday I did see him. He kind of got double-teamed. It was tough for him to fight through, so he wound up on the ground on the play. I was kind of focused on him there, but he was fighting his way through it. He was trying to do whatever he could. I like that. I think, Joe, that Dwayne Carter to me has always been, anybody says, like, what's the safest rookie? I think Dwayne Carter. Guy's a three-year captain at Duke. He plays a position that he's going to play on this team. He's going to rotate. He has great bloodlines. His dad played in the NFL. So I just think this guy's going to come in and his floor is probably higher than any rookie that they drafted. I don't know where his ceiling is, but I think his floor is higher, at least initially, his rookie year.
Let's go through some of the other rookies. We mentioned Cole Bishop there, who he's going to get a lot more of an opportunity now with the injury to Mike Edwards. You know, Sal, I've seen plenty of the highlights of him, willing hitter, good size, big, like thumping safety, I'd imagine. There's plenty of that in his game.
For sure. I asked Cole Bishop when he was drafted. He had his pre-draft, he had his post-draft press conference. I said, all right, big play late in the game. You can either have an interception to seal it or a really big hit and tackle to seal it. What do you think he chose?
Hit?
Yeah. He said, I'd take the hit and the tackle. He said, there's nothing like having that big hit and tackle to kind of win the game, right, to help your team. And I think that's the mindset that he carries in. Now, he's a great athlete, though. Let's remember what Dalton Kincaid said about him. Dalton Kincaid said he covered me one-on-one all the time, and he got the better of me. And he actually said it initially, and then they had to go to Dalton. Yeah, he really did. I mean, that's how good of a one-on-one defender. But, guys, let's remember, the Bills play a lot of zone defense. There's a lot of stuff he's got to remember, a lot of stuff he's got to think about. So that's why I've said from the beginning, to me it's a tall task for him to be the starter. Now, all bets are off because of injury, partly because his game is more suited to have to kind of learn more of the nuances of zone than he is. He's not walking in right now and going, oh, this is what he does. He can do it, but he's got a learning curve there.
So if there's a learning curve there for him, and Damar Hamlin's the other safety right now, Cam Lewis too, I don't know, what would you say about their room as it's currently constructed if Mike Edwards is going to have a little bit of a struggle getting back healthy versus, I'm sure you've had people ask on Twitter about whether it's Micah Hyde or Justin Simmons. With one injury at safety, I think it was inevitable that someone was going to be asking about other options that are not in their building right now.
The first option that comes up is Micah Hyde. Everybody talks about Micah Hyde. So Matt Bove and I did our Always Game Day last night at Barbilt. It was great. Thank you for all that came out. But we talked about this, and we are of a different mind of this. I said, I'm not even thinking about Micah Hyde. I don't think the team is thinking about Micah Hyde unless there's something really long-term with somebody. Like, if you know Mike Edwards is out long-term or something happened to somebody else, I think that's when you have to start saying, okay, should we give Micah Hyde a call? It's week to week. We haven't even had a preseason game yet. Mm-hmm. To me, that means he'll be back in the next couple weeks. He'll get up to speed. Now, I'm not thinking about missing an opener, but Matt said, his mind was, he thinks that if there's any chance at all that Mike Edwards would be not available for the opener, he thinks they would pick up the phone and call Micah Hyde. That's an interesting one. I don't know. I just think it feels like one of the – you got to have two parties here, right? Micah's also got to kind of want to do it for 17 games.
I was just going to say, like –
in 18 weeks,
He might say, call me in a month.
Right. That's exactly the way I look at it. Yeah. So I do think it's interesting. I just don't think – now, could we sit here today and they sign a safety? Yes. I wouldn't doubt if they would do that. Now, what would be the roster move? I don't know. Just to add a number. But I don't feel like it's something at the top end of the depth chart they would do. Micah Hyde, Justin Simmons. To me, that's something you do later and break glass in case of emergency. There's no emergency right now. Right now, it's, hey, we got numbers, we got guys, but we got to make sure we can practice, play some preseason games. Where do we add right there? And you got guys with flexibility, right? Yeah. But some of the corners. Jamarcus Ingram, he can play safety a little bit. You know, Cam Lewis can play, as you mentioned, safety and corner. Like, they're not in a pinch right now where they got to go add somebody.
Right.
One thing, Joe and I were watching the receiver and DB drills. You might have been over the other field at that point. And it was fun watching Shavers, who seems to keep getting more reps. Was yesterday an even higher amount of snaps for him?
Maybe. Also could be because Chase Claypool was not in, right? You have one less guy to take reps, and you're not really – some of those guys just aren't going to get as many anyway. I just think that he's really trending up. Chase Claypool's injury is going to be tough for him. He's got to come back. He's got to show. I would think they'd at least give him a little bit of runway to go in preseason games and see what he does.
Yeah.
But on Shavers, he looks the part. He's tall. He's catching the ball. He seems like he's in the right spot. Seems like Josh trusts him. And that's a lot of it. So I love your tweet this morning, the wide receiver train. There was a guy standing there right in front of it on the tracks the whole time, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe that is. And it doesn't mean he's going to be an all-pro. But I think he fits right in with this group, what they're trying to do.
Also, in the wide receiver DB drills, we've talked about Jamarcus Ingram a bunch. He was pretty impressive in defending Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
Jammed him hard at the line, press coverage, and watching Samuel and then Coleman back-to-back in those drills, for me, there was a big difference in their ability in that specific drill. And less of a concern, more of a highlighting of the different skill sets. Like, if you're looking for Keon Coleman to shake a guy loose one-on-one, that's really not
his game.
It's not ever going to be his game. And later on...
But Curtis Samuel.
Curtis Samuel did. Yeah. Curtis Samuel shook his guy. It looked great.
Yeah.
Later on, we see 11-on-11. Keon Coleman comes across the formation, and it might as well have been the gauntlet drill at the combine. Running full speed across the formation, makes a juggling catch on the sideline. So, you know, I think if Bills fans, I'm seeing on Twitter there are fights about Keon Coleman already.
Oh, my gosh. And yeah, of course, right?
And I think it's just important to note they have different types of receivers. You know, who knows what he ultimately becomes. But early on, I don't know, Sal, like what role you envision for him. They'll find ways to use him. That's Joe Brady's job, is asking him to do what he can do well.
Yeah, for sure. Keon Coleman has been impressive. He's made a lot of splash plays, but the splash plays have all been kind of similar, right? Which is a little bit down the field, outstretched arms, has to come up with the ball. He's getting a little separation more than you think. His splash plays haven't come in these short area spaces that you're talking about, right? They can get him the ball, and I think he's good yards after catch, but he's got to get open to be able to do that. And that's not to say he's struggling to get open. It's just, are you going to ask him to do it?
Yeah.
You're right. Like, you can have stuff built into the playbook, but I think if you go out there on 1st and 10 and go, okay, this is the play. Keon Coleman's going to run 2 yards and stop and turn around, and we're going to get him the ball. I just think that's not really his game and what you want to do. Curtis Samuel, though, he's a football player. He does a lot with the ball in his hands. He does a lot. He can line up anywhere, do a lot of different things. Speaking of Curtis Samuel, do you guys know where he went to high school, where he grew up?
Florida?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I do.
It's a good guess. Usually, right?
I was playing the player right there.
That's right. He went to a high school, a very famous high school in Brooklyn, New York, called Erasmus Hall.
Okay.
I'm on the page. I noticed this when he was drafted. Do yourself a favor today and go look. Usually an NFL player, he's like the most notable alumni from Erasmus Hall.
Yeah.
This guy might be like the 100th most notable alumni from Erasmus Hall.
What do we got? We got a lot of presidents go there?
I think, let me see, yes, there might have been one here. Attorney general, mayors, senators, congresspeople, governors, lots of political people, musicians, Secret Service agents. I mean, just take a look at it. It's pretty wild. There are athletes. You know, he's not the only one, but pretty wild.
But before we run out of time, so Ty Johnson goes down yesterday, Sal.
Yeah.
One, do you have any gut feeling on whether that could be a long-term thing? And two, if it is good that he's going to be out for a little bit, do you feel like they're okay at running back, or do you think they might add another body?
Number one, is he out? Hopefully we'll find out more today.
Okay.
The bad news was the way it looked when he went down and how upset he was. Punched the ground with his hand. You could tell, you know, he was upset. He gets up. He walked with trainers to the locker room. Very noticeable limp. After practice, outside the locker room near the pre-practice field, I saw him. He came out. He had a long black sleeve on his right leg, but the good news was he had no brace, wasn't walking with, like, crutches or anything like that. So that's good, but we'll see. We'll see where that goes. That didn't look good when it happened. I do not think they have to add a body right now. Let's remember, Frank Gore Jr. signed as an undrafted free agent. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you still have Ray Davis, James Cook, Ray Davis, Darrington Evans, Frank Gore Jr. You still have 4 guys that carry the ball. You still have Reggie Gilliam, who can line up back there, right? So I don't think you have to. But if it's something that keeps you out through him out through preseason games, at least you have to think about, like, James Cook's not going to be playing a preseason much, right? But you have to at least think about what that looks like and how you want to divide up reps.
Ooh, Frank Gore Jr. on your preseason fantasy football teams.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Hall of Fame game watch, Caleb Williams says he wants to play.
Probably not going to.
Let's hope he doesn't, right? Let's get him in.
Debut in Buffalo.
That's right. All right, Sal. Thanks very much.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Sal Capaccio here from St. John Fisher as we get ready for day 6 of Bills training camp. Day six. Jeremy and Joe, more of your calls. Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, about an hour from now. Bobby Babich in the 9 o'clock hour as we cruise. Join us on the phones if you'd like, 803-0550 on WGR. Hey, you can win a Friday foursome with Encore Golf, Labatt, and WGR. Every Friday we announce a lucky winner who gets to experience the excitement of playing one of Western New York's finest golf courses, including Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course, Lockport Country Club, Diamond Hawk Golf Course, or Cloverbank Country Club. Plus, you get a box of Encore Golf Balls, $25 gift certificate to Encore Golf, one-year basic membership to Club Encore. Enter now, WGR550.com, for your chance to win. Brought to you by Labatt, pristine, refreshing Pilsner. Please enjoy responsibly. And Encore Golf, you just became a better golfer. Must be 21 plus to enter. Joe, we lost power last night. It was an eventful evening.
And was it weather related?
I don't know the cause, but we lost power from about 9 p.m. to 3 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah. Turned a normal bedtime.
I was going to say bedtime a little tougher.
We kind of told the kids it was like we were camping. And everybody slept downstairs. We ended up being like the grandparents in Willy Wonka all sleeping, and our couch converts into like a sectional. All right, everybody.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a warm night for
it was a lose why power. We were downstairs instead of upstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, when we get to the 8:30 segment. And when we get back, we did have a viral highlight tomorrow. We need to talk about how horribly insufferable this team is. Not the Bills. This team in the highlight. And what karma should be doing to them. All right? Horrible karma.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.